Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Once upon a time, I was told Russia has three forms of revenue. One is weapons. That includes Wagner Group and other mercenaries. Two is gas and oil. We know about this because it's under severe sanctions. The oil part, the gas business just collapsed when the Russians cut it off, thinking that that'll teach them. Well, it taught them to get other sources of liquefied natural gas. And the third source of revenue I was taught Russia has, nuclear energy, building nuclear plants and fuel for nuclear energy plants. Russia's under severe sanctions. You would think. I welcome Andrea Sterker. She is Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to help me tell a story that is not believable, except there it is. Andrea is a research fellow and deputy director of the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program at the FDD. Andrea, very good evening to you. Russ Adams sells to the world, and the United States buys. Please explain. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you. The U.S. administration and Europe are really in a tough position, in part because of their own making. They actually allowed their nuclear utilities over the past two decades to become dependent on Russia for nuclear commodities. So that's why we are now coming up on 2 years after Russia invaded Ukraine, and the West is still purchasing billions of dollars worth of goods from Rosatom. We estimate nearly $2 billion a year. And as you noted, they also have plenty of money coming in from other countries. They estimated that they were set to earn $14 billion over 2023, and that was a 40% increase over 2022. So it's quite insane the way we're undermining our own effort to assist Ukraine. Since Rosatom is a state-run entity, it's essentially a Kremlin revenue stream to continue prosecuting this war.
You report that Rosatom Corporation made $14 billion in annual revenue in 23 from all sources. U.S. and European purchases of, as you said, $2 billion of the total of $14 billion. Is nobody noticing at the Biden administration? Is State Department too busy? We're sanctioning them. They're at war. We're trying to cut off their economy from growing. What explains this?
Right. So the reason we're in this situation is, well, for one, the administration, Europe, don't want to upset energy markets with a hasty ban on Russian nuclear imports because we are so dependent. In the EU, you also have Hungary that wants to retain ties to Rosatom. And to a certain extent, France also wants to retain ties. But in the U.S., we also let all of our domestic uranium industry fall into disarray over the past two decades. We didn't even enrich uranium at all until late last year when the Centrus Corporation opened a new plant in Ohio. And then we also have the Urenco plant in New Mexico, which says it can now meet U.S. nuclear fuel demand. But to answer your question, the U.S. Department of Energy has been quietly working to help U.S. utilities stockpile at least 2 years of supplies in anticipation of a formal ban. Whether they expect that to come from the Biden administration or from Congress is unclear, but it is positive that we're moving in this direction.
The business itself, the uranium, the power plants in this country, do they have a uniform opinion that we must have Rosatom uranium? Nothing else will do?
Some of them are hesitant to have a ban come into effect because it would hurt their bottom line, or they don't have alternative suppliers lined up just yet. But there was some recent reporting by Energy Intelligence Weekly, which said that a lot of the nuclear utilities are now close to ready and that they could tolerate a ban. But what we're recommending, my colleague and I, Anthony Ruggiero, is that Washington take the lead and implement sanctions against Rosatom and have wind down periods. So any company or country that is still dependent and can offer a good rationale for why they are could maybe have a waiver, a temporary waiver to continue to find alternative supplies. And this could go on for 1 to 4 years while the market stabilizes. But we do need Washington to start by sending this strong market signal to the domestic and foreign market that Russian nuclear commodities are off the table.
What I've learned is that secondary sanctions scare the bejesus out of most of the Chinese banks. Scares them. And so a number of them have been backing off, making their accounts available for the Russian oil middle people who are passing oil back and forth. I've also heard the same thing about those selling dual-use technology out of Turkey, out of Kazakhstan, out of Armenia. Secondary sanctions. Is that available for Rosatom, that if we sanction Rosatom, can we sanction the banks who make it possible for people to buy from Rosatom?
That's exactly the idea. So that would send a chilling effect for any financial institutions to deal with Rosatom, because then the United States could freeze their assets and any transactions that would touch the U.S. banking system, which is a great deal of them. They'd have to come up with some kind of a bartering scheme or a direct transaction, bilateral transaction, which, you know, it is possible, though, because Rosatom does often finance and provides lending for the projects. So I think the United States is going to have to be creative to try to trap some of those transactions and find out who might be doing business even after a ban goes into effect.
Do the companies know this? Do they tell their employees that they're supporting the Russian war machine? I mean, this is the sort of thing. I know something about those who operate nuclear plants safely, and they're extremely patriotic. They tend to be military veterans in many instances. Do they know?
I'm sure many of them do. We do still buy quite a bit of uranium from Russia, converted uranium reactor fuel. They produce a specialized fuel called HALEU. It's enriched up to 20%, and only Russia produces it until the U.S. supply comes back online. So it should be a point of contention for American workers that we're supporting Russia's nuclear sector, all while we're trying to support Ukraine and help them win.
Another detail, Andrea, I remember, I think I do, from reading about the building the atomic bombs once upon a time. Isn't there a lot of uranium in Canada?
That is true. And we get 27% of our uranium from Canada as of 2022 numbers. And also Kazakhstan, we get about 25% of uranium from there. And we have Uzbekistan and Australia and other countries like Niger, South Africa, Namibia. So there are alternative suppliers. It's unclear what the holdup is, at least with raw uranium, because there are alternative sources. So I'm not sure if this is just a situation where it's too expensive or they have other contracts and can't fill the Russian supply hole just yet.
Does the White House need to wait for Congress? Because you indicate that the president could use an executive order. How would that work?
He could use existing executive orders on the books. And it's very unclear whether they're waiting for Congress to move or if they plan to do something on their own. But as far as I understand it, there's some legislation in the House. There has previously been legislation in the Senate. On the House side, we expect that to be introduced around March.
Right.
So I think the administration does expect that a ban is coming down the pipe, and it would be best if they would lead, because the message needs to be that Moscow is no longer a reliable energy partner and they need to face long-term consequences over Ukraine.
Andrea Stricker, FTD. I'm John Battle.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.